You know, in some ways, I'm a little bit sad because we have come to the place where we are leaving the series on contentment. It's been a fun series and a very serious series to look at, but I'm going to ease out of this series and I'm going to finish up the paragraph that Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4. And it was about the contentment, but it also is about the blessings of giving. And so this is going to be the second part of the sermon 2 weeks ago, all right? Because last week we talked about, does anybody remember? Holy discontentment, right? And I think we need to understand holy discontentment in order to come to understand what Paul's saying in verse 18 and 19. So let's turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 29, and if you have your Bibles, turn there. It'll be up on the screen. What I want to do is kind of go back over and remind us of our vision and our value here at Harvest, and we have reduced what Jesus says to four words: loving God and people. Our vision and our value is to be loving of God and lovers of people. And quite honestly, as I prayed and thought about that this week, I thought, you know, we really don't know how to do that very well. I don't know that we've ever experienced being to fully love God and love people like Christ did. But he gave it to us in black and white in the book of Mark. And I want to read it, but when I read it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have a certain sense of fear and respect for what Jesus is about to say, because he says this is the first and second commandment, and there is nothing greater than these. And with that, it kind of scares me a little bit, you know, in a good way, not in a bad way, but just having a certain sense of respect. So here's what Jesus says when he answers a lawyer asking him, what's the best commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, meaning with all of your emotions, with all of your soul, which means giving your life to God, even to the point of giving and forfeiting your life, with all your mind, to love him with your intellect and your knowledge and your wisdom, and with all your strength, meaning your resources, your material things. He said, this is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says an amazing thing: there is no other commandment, singular, greater than these. I think that's interesting because they are so attached to each other, loving God and loving people, that he's telling us it's one commandment. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, to our passage. Paul praises the Philippians for sharing their resources, that fourth part of loving God, and what's going to happen over the next couple weeks. This is the last one I'll spend on our strength, and then I'm going to go through the other three so we understand those real well. But Paul praises the Philippians because the Philippians had shared their resources with him, and he wants them to understand it's been an act of love on their part. They were loving in a tangible way to Paul when he was imprisoned in Rome and he's shackled to a soldier and he cannot get out to work. And so he's telling them, look, man, I'm loving what you're doing. And Paul tells the Philippian church that they are a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, when I thought about that, it took me back to a week and a half ago, and Debbie was out of town. She was with my son and daughter-in-law, and they went to San Diego, and so I was home alone for about a week, and that week and a half, it was actually 2 weeks, so a lady approached me at church and said, well, Steve, would you like to come over, because I bet you I haven't had a very good meal in a while since Debbie's gone, and she's such a great cook and all that kind of thing. And so I reflected back on the previous night, where I had saved a rib steak and barbecued it. And I had a salad with cheese and bacon bits, and I boiled some eggs and sliced them and put ranch dressing, and actually I had a great meal. And, you know, when I put that steak on the barbecue, and when I built my house, I had them knock out and put the natural gas so I could have a natural gas grill so I never have to change that stinking tank. That's being a man. All right, so I put the steak on there, and I put it on there, and you know what it's like. As soon as it begins to sizzle, you get that smell. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make you so hungry today with my example. I'm just telling you now. In fact, I had a people last night. There's a couple that came and laid a steak on my desk this morning. But doesn't it smell good, you know? When you cook that steak in Israel, in their sacrificial system, God had them cut off the fat of the animal, and he burned the fat separately, and that was God's portion. And because the fat was reserved for God, and the smoke would rise in the air, and God would just smell that sacrifice. Combined with the people's hearts and their great attitudes, and he would call it a sweet-smelling sacrifice. A sweet-smelling aroma. And you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says this of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Paul's writing in 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And it literally means an odor of good smell. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave his life. He operated that third part of loving God, which is love with all your soul. And he gave his life for us and created this sense of good aroma to the Father. Now, I want you to listen to me on this. There was nothing hypocritical. There was nothing impure. There was no second thinking or any other motive in Christ but that he loved us. And he loved the Father, and so he sacrificed his Son. His motive was pure. And Paul mentions that in chapter 5, verse 1, that he became a sacrifice, a sweet aroma.